Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Fred Flight substituting for Frank Gaffney. My next guest is Dr. Bruce Bechtel. He is professor of political science at Angelo State University. He's a member of the editorial advisory board of the Korea Observer, a member of the board of directors of the U.S. Council on U.S.-Korea Security Studies, and president of the International Council on Korea Studies. Dr. Bechtel, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the recent developments concerning North Korea, I understand you have a book forthcoming. Could you talk a little bit about it?
I do. This is the culmination of a four-year project. I got a very large research grant to study North Korean proliferation in the Middle East and Africa. So my book is actually called North Korean Military Proliferation to the Middle East and Africa, Enabling Instability and Violence is the subtitle. And the book is pretty simple, but it's a methodology nobody's used before. I am of the assessment that you can't really understand the impact of military proliferation to any region or country unless you understand what's going there. So I take a whole chapter and look at all the various weapon systems that North Korea has, what they're capable, some of the capabilities that North Korea proliferates, like their special operations forces, etc. Then I take another chapter and I look at exactly how they get around sanctions, what their modus operandi is for proliferating their weapons around the world when there's so many sanctions surrounding them, basically explaining how North Korea's overseas activities work much like a mafia family. And then I get down to exactly who they're proliferating to. So there's a chapter on North Korean proliferation to Syria. There's one on proliferation to Iran, and then a whole chapter on proliferation to the continent of Africa. And then, of course, I wrap up with saying how we can contain or end this proliferation that gets North Korea $3 to $4 billion a year and really helps them survive. So this ends this summer when the book actually comes out, and I just looked at the proofs yesterday, actually.
Well, I look forward to seeing it. There was recently a UN report that North Korea made $200 million in sanctions violations in 2016 and 2017. A German intelligence agency said that North Korea has been covertly acquiring missile, nuclear, and chemical technology through the Berlin embassy. There's been reports of offshore oil transfers in violation of UN sanctions recently. So I'm wondering, is this situation getting worse, and can we get sanctions to work against North Korea?
Well, that's a very good question. That's the question. And the $200 million is actually just basically non-military proliferation activities. So, I mean, it was mostly talking about the oil that they were selling. North Korea actually makes several billion a year in illicit activities. So, I mean, this has really stepped up for the North Koreans for several reasons. In other words, the answer to your question is yes. They have had a rough spot in their relationship with China. Things with them are not working as well as they have, particularly economically. They no longer get all of the aid from South Korea that they got up till about 10 years ago. And, of course, sanctions have gone after a lot of their legitimate overseas endeavors, such as they are, largely oil. So, yes, proliferation and other illicit activities, such as illegal drugs, counterfeit currency, even the selling of exotic animals and things like that, has gotten to be much bigger in the latter years of the Kim Jong-il administration, and it's really exploded in the Kim Jong-un administration. And there's been other factors as well, such as, you know, Iran's hunger for ballistic missiles and a nuclear program, and the fact that the Syrian government needs so many weapon systems because it's involved in a civil war. So all of that's come together for kind of a perfect storm that's become quite profitable in an illicit way for the DPRK.
You know, many people who we both know who cover the North Korea issue believe that China has been facilitating its nuclear and missile program. However, there were two academics, Chinese academics, who published articles in late 2017 questioning China's relationship with North Korea, suggesting that North Korea may be a latent enemy, and suggesting that China may have to start thinking about contingency plans for a post-conflict North Korea. Do you think there's any chance China is reconsidering its North Korea policy?
Well, I did a war game with some Chinese scholars last fall, the fall of 2017, early fall in September. I think China is, at least if one is to judge those individuals, they were all Chinese scholars. China is uncomfortable with North Korea's rogue state behavior, and yet the Chinese consider that North Korea is sort of their problem and nobody else's. You know what I'm saying? So because of that, the Chinese continue to look the other way. Maybe not the Chinese government directly, but a lot of Chinese corporations with close ties to the government have sold the North Koreans things like, tractor trailers that are used for missile launchers, et cetera. And the economic flow of a variety of types of goods continues to flow across the border into China and through their ports. So, you know, if China was really serious, the government of China, about clamping down on North Korea's illicit financial activities and their proliferation, they could be much more proactive in doing it than they are. Even today, much of what they do seems like basically a token.
My friend, Asian expert Gordon Chang, who I'm sure you know, has taken issue with the idea that the Trump administration reportedly is considering of a bloody nose strategy. That would be a limited military attack on North Korea, maybe a naval blockade, maybe shooting down missiles to try to send a message to North Korea that we're serious without starting a war. Well, Chang thinks it would start a war, and this is a serious mistake. What's your take on this?
Well, Gordon Chang's a very good friend of mine, and I think he's a very smart man. There's a difference between shooting down a missile that's going to be overflying Japan or blockading a port, although I think blockading a port is considered an act of war. And it probably wouldn't do any good anyway because it doesn't do anything about the Chinese border. You see what I'm saying? But I think that this preemptive strike, this bloody nose that we've heard rumors about, I think that the problem with that is misinterpretation or escalation. And please allow me to explain that. The North Koreans could easily misinterpret us taking out a missile on its pad, in other words, attacking an actual North Korean military unit, as the first strike in what's going to be a war, right? Or even if they understand what we're doing, that we're not going to engage in a full-scale war, as has happened in brinkmanship and provocations with its neighbor to the south, things could start to escalate, get out of hand, and the next thing you know, there's North Korean artillery firing rounds into Seoul, and we've got ourselves into a full force-on-force conflict. So I think this is something that we need to be very, very careful about. If you were to ask me, and nobody has, nobody in the government has asked me for advice on this, but my advice would be the only time we should actually engage in an act of war against North Korea is if they make the first move, because that's consistent with our values as Americans. Now, that said, I don't think there's anything wrong with, for example, if North Korea does a missile test, for example, and they shoot off what they call the Hwasong 15 and it overflies Japan, for example, or they shoot a missile towards Guam, as they've done once now. I don't think there's anything wrong with using our ballistic missile defense to take that thing out of the sky, because that shows them that we do not fear that threat that they're trying to convey to us. The problem with that is our ballistic missile defense ready to do that? How accurate will it be?
Well, Dr. Bechtel, I think that is a big question, but I'm afraid that we have to run. Thank you so much for your analysis. I look forward to your forthcoming book. This is Fred Flight substituting for Frank Affney on Secure Freedom Radio. My next guest is Arthur Millick, an associate director with the Heritage Foundation. Please stay tuned.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.